Hello and welcome to Dear Franny, the podcast of uncommon conversations about love. I'm your host, Francesca Hoagie. It's a mini-sode. I'm flying solo today. I don't have a guest, but I do have some jam-packed info for you. If you are single, if you are dating, and even if you're not, because honestly, this is something that I kind of came up with about a year ago, and I created this quiz, which I will link to in the show notes, called What's Your Dating Diagnosis? And it's only 10 questions. It's a pretty short quiz, but those 10 questions are designed for me to tell you what your dating archetype is. And there are four dating archetypes that I have identified, and I have been really surprised that there are so many people who are in relationships and married who still want to know what their dating archetype is. So if you're in a relationship, just know that this is still interesting information for sure. And if you do want to take the quiz, you're just going to have to lie on the first question, because the first question is, are you single? And if you say no, then the quiz is going to end for you. So just know that. So if you want to get to the answer to the questions, then you're going to have to say yes. And then you're going to have to put yourself in the mindset of your single self. So that's for the people who may not be single. But now I'm really focused here on the people who are single and giving you this information, which I designed as a way to help people to understand their psychology around dating a little bit better, and also how to change it, because that's the most important part. If you are recognizing some part of yourself in what I'm going to share with you today, and it's something that you don't want to be, if you're like, oh, I see myself as this archetype and I don't want to be that archetype, I'd rather be another archetype, just know that you can change your archetype. So, all right, without further ado, let me break this down for you. All right, so before I tell you exactly what the four archetypes are and how you can determine which one you are, and then, of course, what to do if you want to change your archetype, I just want to give you a little background on why I came up with these four to begin with. So if you're listening to this, then you probably know who I am, and you know that I'm a coach and a love coach and a life coach. And when you work with a lot of people and you talk to a lot of people about one particular topic, which I do about love, then you really start to see patterns emerge. And it's not that hard to see those patterns. And it became really clear to me that everybody really does fall into one of these four categories. And this is something that I sort of started designing for myself just to help me kind of assess very quickly where people were on their love journey and how best to help them. And then I just, you know, really got clear on exactly what these four archetypes were, what they look like, and then the quiz, and, you know, it all kind of taken off from there. So the quiz has been really popular, and it's been really helpful to people, so I'm excited to share these archetypes with you. Okay, so before, again, I know I'm like, ooh, so many teasers, but here, I'm going to get into it in 1 second, but I do want to explain one thing. So love confidence is a concept that I don't know if I heard this somewhere else, if I heard somebody else talking about love confidence. It's certainly possible. I read a lot of books, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I talk to a lot of people, but one day in my head there was this concept of love confidence, and the way that I define it is belief in your ability to attract and keep committed romantic relationships. So belief in your ability to attract and keep committed romantic relationships, that is love confidence, that's how I define it. And it's something that I noticed was a huge, huge differentiator in how quickly people got into relationships. I would work with clients who maybe demographically are very similar. Outwardly, they have, you know, I don't know, they're similar ages or ethnicities, and, you know, they might live in the same city and they might be kind of physically very similar, but one client might really struggle with integrating the information that she needs to really help her to clear her love blocks. And other clients are like, it's no problem. Like, snap, they got it. No problem. You tell them once, they're like, yep, I got it. Oh yeah, I see. I was doing that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then they just really move on very quickly. And that's one example of how love confidence shows up. But I started to notice this, and I realized that the real difference was this real belief that you can attract a committed, loving relationship. People who believe that very strongly they do it. They attract those relationships. And people who don't believe that, then they have a lot, they might have a much harder time. And I'm somebody who used to have very, very, very low love confidence. And then I realized my love confidence was low, and I didn't have the language for it at that time, because this was like 20 years ago when I really started to understand that I might have more control over my love life than I think I do. And I feel that I do. So that was a process for me of understanding that, maybe I have some more control here. And it was a long, slow journey, and I was doing it by myself. But now I like to help people shortcut that love journey. So love confidence is a spectrum, like all confidence. And on one end of the spectrum, you have people who have very low love confidence, as I said, like I used to, which you really feel like, oh, it's not, this is never going to happen for me. And on the other end of the spectrum are people who have very high love confidence, where, you know, the idea of getting into a committed relationship is like no problem, and they know that they can do that with a lot of ease. And then everything in between. So that is the framework that I wanted to give you, that background of these archetypes. So these four archetypes all fall on the love confidence spectrum. So we'll start at the beginning. So the very first archetype is the avoider. And as the name implies, avoiders avoid. So for avoiders, a very kind of classic avoider has a lot of pessimism that they're actually going to meet someone. So a very classic avoider is someone who's like, you know what, it's hopeless. I doubt I'm ever going to meet anyone. It's too hard to even try. It's too disappointing. It's too scary. I'm not even going to bother. They might say, I don't need anyone. They might say, my life is great, so I don't need love, so I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going to try. But avoiders are avoiding dating. And sometimes you might have people who are a little bit further along on the spectrum of love confidence. And so they don't completely opt out of dating, but they might dip a toe in and say, okay, I'm going to download a dating app, and then maybe be on a dating app for a week and then get really discouraged and then delete it and say, oh, I tried and I can't do this. Or they might, you know, make an effort to go to a dating event or something. And if they go to a dating event and it's not great, which they often aren't, and they don't meet someone, they're like, oh, I tried, I'm not going to do this again. So there's a lot of that just talking yourself out of putting yourself out there. And that's very classic for the avoider archetype. So again, these are all mindsets. So if you are recognizing yourself as an avoider, just know this is not a judgment. Like I said, I have been there, so I know what it feels like to feel that pessimism, and to kind of just, you know, try and go, ugh, and then say, why did I bother trying? So we're going to talk again at the end about, you know, how you can start to change your dating archetype if you're recognizing yourself and you don't like it. So that's a classic avoider. So then we move a little bit higher up the love confidence spectrum, or I don't want to say higher, across the love confidence spectrum. And then we get to loopers. So loopers are, the classic looper is typically stuck in a dating pattern that you do not like and you do not want. So you're looping, right, over and over and over again. It's like Groundhog Day with your love life. So, and it can be with avoiders too, but usually for avoiders, the Groundhog Day is there is very little activity in your love life and you really don't date at all. But with loopers, they are more proactive. So loopers tend to date more than avoiders do, but they tend to be stuck in a pattern that's not working and they don't know how to get out of it. So again, I have been everywhere on this spectrum. That's why I can even articulate these things, because I'm like, oh, I remember what it feels like to be at every single one of these stages. And so with loopers, just know you have a dating pattern. And just as you have created that pattern, even if you did it subconsciously, you created a pattern and you can change it and create a new one that serves you better. But that's an overview of loopers. And then moving a little bit further across the spectrum, then we have surfers. So surfers surf. And what do I mean by that? So I mean with surfers get very mixed results in their love lives. So if you can imagine that you know, relationships or romantic success are like waves in an ocean, then you can imagine that sometimes you get lucky and you like dive in and you hit a perfect wave and you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then the next time you go in, you might totally just crash and burn. So with surfers are typically, they're a bit disempowered in their love journey. So what happens is that they kind of ride the tide of whoever they happen to meet. So if they happen to meet someone who is relationship-minded and wants the same things as them, then that can really work out. But if they meet somebody who maybe isn't, and maybe somebody who doesn't want to commit, even though they might want a commitment, they might still spend some time riding that wave, so to speak, and being in that relationship. So with surfers, they're a little bit further along than loopers, so their pattern is not totally Groundhog Day. Like, there is some variation, but that pattern can, it's very, very, very mixed results. So you're kind of like, you know, you're counting on getting lucky, because you're just kind of going with whoever happens to show up in your life, who you're interested in and who you connect with. Okay. And then the final dating archetype, and this is at the very kind of, you know, opposite end of the spectrum to the avoider, is the sailor. So sailors are in complete control of their love lives. So even if you are single, if you are a sailor, you are a person who has a very strong belief and a very strong know-how about dating, about relationships, and about how to get into a relationship. So the people that you know, and we all know these people who are serial monogamous, and maybe even if they've been in a relationship for a really long time, they break up and they're like, yeah, I'm ready to meet someone else. And then they meet someone else instantly. And I know, I used to marvel at those people. I'd be like, how did you do that? I don't understand. You didn't even seem to struggle at all. And so sailors, they really don't struggle. It doesn't mean that sailors don't have, you know, any disappointment. It doesn't mean that sailors don't have to, you know, date a lot of people necessarily, but most sailors, when you're in that mindset, it's pretty easy. The belief is very strong. And when that belief is really strong, then all of that mindset, the actions, the magnetism, the law of attraction, it all lines up and it happens very, very quickly. So obviously, if you are single and you don't want to be single and you want to be in a relationship, the higher you can build your love confidence, or the more you can build your love confidence up, the more you're going to see what happens in your dating patterns change. So how do you do that? So let's go back to the avoider. So avoiders avoid. So the main thing for the avoider is to work on, number one, self-love. And if you didn't hear my last minisode about self-love, please take a listen to that, because, I mean, I think that everybody needs, well, I think that we can all love ourselves more, right? And that'll only make our lives better. But if you are at that avoider stage of your life, then the self-love, do not gloss over that. That's a very, very important piece of it. So the more that you can start to love yourself, the more you can start to believe that somebody else out there can love you as well. And then once you start to believe that more, then it becomes a little bit easier to start to take those consistent actions towards meeting more people, getting more confident in your dating skills. So just know that if you're an avoider, you're just at that stage of your love journey. These things can change, and they will change if you decide to change them. So the very, very, very first step is to just deepen that self-love. And then the second thing is to also get some dating skills and get some dating experience. If you are an avoider who, you might be in an avoidant kind of stage of life because as a result of a relationship or a series of bad relationships, you might be there and you've never really been anywhere else. So you don't have a lot of experience with dating or relationships. And if you don't have a lot of experience, that's fine. You know, dating is a skill and you can learn how to date. You can learn how to flirt. You can learn how to do better in all of these areas. So just know that what feels really hard for you right now, if you're relating to this avoider archetype, what feels really hard for you right now doesn't always have to feel hard, and it won't always feel hard if you push yourself. I'm telling you, I understand there was a time I didn't know how to flirt. I was so scared of making eye contact with a guy. I was like, oh my God, how do other women do this? It was so mysterious to me. And then once I decided I'm not going to just stay in this place of being intimidated by this whole process because I really want love, I really want connection, I really want intimacy,
Once I decided that I got to figure this out, that was a life-changing decision, because then I just started to push myself and I started to learn more and I started to get more information. And as I deepened my love for myself, I didn't take things so personally. So it wasn't such a big deal if I smiled at a guy and he didn't smile back. I mean, it may not have felt amazing, but I was like, oh, this doesn't mean I'm unattractive and I'm unlovable. I didn't take it to be such a deep, dark cloud. It was just like, okay, that guy just didn't smile at me for whatever reason. So that's one simple example. But the main thing the main takeaway for avoiders is to know that you can get better at dating. I promise. Okay. And you can love yourself more, and that will help tremendously. And speaking of loving yourself more, when it comes to the looper, because, and I should actually say, I'm going to give some avoiders, some credit here, because I've seen this happen, and I do think this was my situation at one point in my life, probably when I was in college, where my avoider tendencies, or not just tendencies, my avoider mindset, because I was fully an avoider, was kind of protecting me, because I felt that the romantic options I had were not with people who I felt safe with or who I felt really respected me. So for me, part of it was kind of creating a narrative that, you know, the guys that liked me weren't, you know, the kind of good guys, or, you know, all of these stories that I had about them. But I do think that there was something protective about it that did serve me in the long run, because I didn't necessarily have some of the very dysfunctional situations that I saw a lot of my other friends going through with guys, because I was just more protecting myself at that time. So I want to make that acknowledgement. So sometimes for avoiders, you know, it can actually serve you to protect yourself from particular situations, but just know that there comes a point where it's like, okay, now you're beyond protecting yourself, and now you're shutting yourself off from something that is really important. It love, connection, intimacy. These things are really important, and these are desires that we all have as humans. And we all have the ability to have that love in our lives. I truly, truly, truly believe that. So, okay, moving on, but just I wanted to give that acknowledgement. So moving on to loopers. So when you are in a pattern, so again, the looper has the love life that's like Groundhog Day. You meet somebody new, you're like, oh my God, you know, this person's so amazing. And then this is so different than the last time. And then no matter what, no matter how you meet them, you find yourself back in the same situation. The same pattern is repeating. I had I think I shared this already on the podcast, but I had an experience of talking to a woman who had a very, very extreme case of this. And she had been married, and she'd been in two other very serious long-term relationships. And in all three of the relationships, oh, and by the way, she'd met her ex-husband in college, she'd met someone else in church, she'd met somebody else through mutual friends. So she'd met these three guys in different ways at different stages of her life. And all three of them, not only did they cheat on her, but they all three got secretly engaged to another woman while they were with her, and including her husband, her ex-husband. And I remember when she was telling me this, I was like, oh, wow, that's a remarkable, like, that's beyond coincidence, right? Like, there is something, like, talk about a pattern, because that is, think about that for a minute. Like, if you wanted to go out and meet and get into a relationship with three different people who would secretly get engaged with you behind your back, like, that's like a pretty, that's like a lottery lightning strike kind of situation. But it's kind of extreme. But anyway, those patterns are very common for people. If you have a pattern where you're always being cheated on, if you have a pattern where somebody puts you up on a pedestal, and then, you know, a few months into the relationship, they get over it and they, you know, leave you, which that used to be my pattern, by the way. I was in that pattern for a really long time. I was like, wait, I thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they're like, changed my mind. Or your pattern is that you get into a relationship with people and they're abusive towards you, whether that's emotionally or mentally or physically or verbally or whatever. This dynamics repeat and you just don't understand why. That is the looper. That's the looper story. And it could be something less dramatic than that. It could just be that maybe You can get a first date, you can get a second date, but you can't get a third date. And that's the loop you're stuck in. Like, how can I get past the second date, or how can I get past the first date, or whatever that looks like for you. So just like with avoiders, the number one order of priority is to work on deepening your self-love if you are stuck in this loop. So that's number one. And then number two is to take the time to very much like to get clear on what your dating pattern is, right? So take the last 3, 4, 5 people you've dated and really write down what was the beginning, what was the middle, what was the end, and see where the patterns lie. Because sometimes our patterns are glaringly obvious and sometimes they're a little bit more subtle. So for the looper to really take a look at what that pattern is and start to understand it is huge, because then you can start to make different choices, right? Because then you can say, oh, wait a second, I know that every time I meet somebody and we get physical really quickly, this same thing happens. So maybe next time I meet someone, I'm going to take it slower physically, which, and I say this not as any judgment. I don't care if you guys like, you know, if anybody wants to have any kind of sexual life or experience that they want. But this is, I'm saying, if it's not serving you, if you see that this is a pattern that's repeating and it's not working out for you, it's up to you. And I want you to feel very empowered, no matter what your archetype is, to know that you can change the pattern, but you have to take responsibility for it if you want to change it. So it's not all men are this or all women are that or people today or nobody wants relationships. Like, if you find yourself in a place of outwardly blaming other people for your dating outcomes, just know that's a very disempowered place and you're unlikely to move forward unless you start to take responsibility and say, okay, I'm choosing these people, even if I'm choosing on a subconscious level, even, you know, there's something about my criteria that I'm using, my picker, my chemistry radar that's off. There's something about it that's not serving me and I'm ready to change it. Just that realization. So deepening your self-love, recognizing your pattern and starting to really embrace the possibility, because if it doesn't feel like the truth for you yet, at least consider the possibility that you are pulling the strings more than you realize. And then your only real order of business is to understand how you're doing that and how to stop. Which is obviously a little bit of a longer conversation, but you can start to do it just by deepening your self-love, seeing the pattern and deciding that you're ready to change it. So that is the looper. And then for the surfer, so remember the surfer is the one that's getting these very mixed results. You know, sometimes you catch a great wave, sometimes you don't, sometimes you meet somebody who's really awesome and you date them. Other times you meet somebody who's less awesome, but you still date them and you're kind of, you know, you can find yourself sort of backsliding. Like, I can't believe I'm in another relationship like this. I thought I moved past that. So for the surfer, it's important to kind of give yourself credit, recognize that you have made progress, because most likely if you're a surfer, you might have been a looper at one point. You might have been an avoider at one point, right? But you realize, like, and I know I had this situation because I was an avoider, and then I moved into being a looper, and then I moved into being a surfer. And one thing when I realized when I was in those more frustrating parts of being a surfer was, well, you know what? I know that I do have the ability to actually get into a relationship or date guys who are more on the same page as me or good guys or, you know, who I have a nice connection with because I've done it before. So if I've done it before, then I'm going to have some faith that I can do it again. So with surfers, you know, self-love is always huge. And if you listen to the episode that I did on self-love, or if you've heard me talk about self-love and the self-love formula that I've developed, then you know that self-love, the 5 elements of self-love very quickly, as I define it, I'm not saying that I'm the end-all be-all authority, but as I define it, are self-compassion, self-worth, self-validation, self-care, and self-gratitude. So in that check-in, which I like to do, which is checking in, am I being compassionate towards myself? Do I feel worthy? Am I able to give myself credit? Am I doing the things that I need to do to support how I want to feel in this world and how I want to show up on this journey? And then number 5 being, you know, am I able to be grateful for the person I am, and where can I start to be grateful for who I get to be on this planet? So in that check-in, we always starting with self-compassion. And so as a surfer, I mean, it's important for everyone to have self-compassion, but as a surfer, definitely have that compassion for yourself. Like, there's something going on here that I don't really understand, but I know that I can get to the bottom of it. So that is really huge. So deepening your self-love, really focusing on that self-compassion and that self-validation. And then just like everyone else, really understanding, I have some more control here than I might realize, than I might feel. And I'm going to start to understand what is my pattern, paying attention, because the problem, surfers get into problems when they are not paying attention, because the reality is if you are paying attention and you're really listening to what people say and you're really you're listening to who they show you that they are, you know, Maya Angelou very famously said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time, right? And that's a real lesson for surfers, like, because you do know what it looks like when somebody shows up who's really down for you and on the same page as you. So when you are choosing somebody who's not, you know, you're having some distraction there, but just know that you can choose to start to really keep your eyes open and make smarter decisions about picking people who are right for you. Okay, so that's the surfer. And then we have the sailor. So like I said, sailors are really in control of their love lives. They're the ones steering the ship, so to speak. Sailors have a lot of love confidence. Sailors tend not to really have the roller coaster of frustration. Even if they date somebody who are like, that's not the person, they don't tend to get very discouraged by that. They're just like, all right, well, it's just someone else. So it is a mindset that it can be very hard won. It certainly was in my case. I mean, I remember when I got to that place where I was like, oh, wow, like this used to feel so hard. And now it actually feels easy to meet people who are compatible and respectful and into me and all of these things and relationship minded. I couldn't believe it when I got there because it took so long, but it took a really long time because I was figuring this all out on my own and I didn't have anybody breaking this down for me in this way. And everything that I do as a coach is really being the coach that I needed and wish that I had, especially wish that I had like 20 years ago when I was in my 20s. Like I wish when I was 22 years old that I had like understood all of this a little bit more. It would have saved me a lot of heartache. But on the other hand, I needed to go through all those lessons. No regrets. So sailors, you're in a good place mindset wise. And honestly, the only problems that I really see sailors having are more sort of logistical problems. Like usually when a sailor comes to me, I love saying it's sailor, and now I have this like an image of somebody in their like white sailor cap and like kind of like really jauntily like walking up to me, kind of like, you know, a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. But I digress. Usually they're in a place where they're having more tactical questions. So I would say the typical sailor who I work with is somebody who maybe they've been in a relationship for a very long time. They might be divorced. They might just be in a situation when they're like, wow, the last time I was single, there was no such thing as Tinder. How do you even use that? So with the sailors, it usually is more of a tactical thing, or just, oh, I'm 45 and I haven't dated since I was 25. And when I was 25, everyone I knew was single. And now at 45, I hardly know any single people. And so they might need some help. They might need some guidance in terms of how to expand their social circle, how to use online dating. But in my experience, sailors integrate this information very quickly because they're not taking it personally. They're not telling themselves a story about how hard it is or how hopeless it is, or you know, they don't get demoralized quite so easily because, again, going back to the definition of love confidence, their belief in their ability to attract and keep committed romantic relationships is very high. So they don't get derailed by the inevitable pitfalls, because just because you're a sailor doesn't mean you're never going to get ghosted, or doesn't mean that, you know, online dating isn't going to be frustrating at moments, because it just is. That's inherent to the process. That's what's happening in our culture in terms of modern dating. People have short attention spans. People are very very programmed to move on very quickly. And so I do believe that's going to change. It's up to everybody who wants it to change to really start to be that change, right? Be the change you want to see in online dating, as Gandhi said. And I think that's what he said, right? That's what he said. So be the change you want to see in online dating, be the change you want to see in modern dating. And the more that we all do that, then the more the culture will change. It really does start with you. But I digress. So the sailor, my advice for the sailor is just to make sure that you get that little bit of help that you need in terms of, you know, the more tactical aspects of modern dating. But mindset-wise, you know, sailors tend to be in a really good place. So if you feel in a good place mindset-wise, amazing. If you feel in not so great a place mindset-wise, totally understandable. And just know that that is something that can improve. Okay, so there you have it. The four dating archetypes as I define them. Avoider, looper, surfer and sailor. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, if you want to take the quiz, there is a link in the show notes, and there's also a link if you go to my Instagram, and I actually did a video on Instagram about this as well, but I'm at Dear Franny on Instagram, and I did a video about dating archetypes yesterday. That's why I was like, I'm going to podcast about it too, because I'm all jazzed up from talking about it. So if you're on Instagram, there's a link in my bio where you can click and take the dating diagnosis quiz. Alternatively, it's in the show notes here. But like I said, it's a quick quiz. It's 10 questions, and it's going to reveal to you your dating archetype. You know, it's not perfect, even though the feedback that I've gotten about the quiz and the accuracy of it is very, very, very good. So, you know, there's a point score. So if you see yourself like, you know, maybe you're in one category, but you're at the high end of that category, the low end of that category, just make sure you also read about the next type that you're closest to, because you might be in a bit of a kind of transitional hybrid phase. So just check that out and let me know what you think of it, because I love hearing people's feedback. I love when people send me messages and they're like, oh my God, how did you read me so well? I don't understand. I feel like you just read my whole life. and like I said, it's because I've been there, I have done that, and I've worked with so many people at every stage of this love journey. And it is a journey. And just know, wherever you are in that journey, you can keep moving forward towards the love that you deserve and you desire, because our heart-centered desires for love and connection and intimacy, those make us human. And I truly, truly, truly believe that everybody has the ability to attract and keep a great, fulfilling, loving relationship. And just knowing that, just taking baby steps to start to believe that, building up that love confidence piece by piece, those little baby steps have huge, huge, huge results for you. And just keep on giving yourself credit for every step you take forward, because that's how we build confidence. We build confidence by taking action and then giving ourselves credit for having taken action, even if it was hard, even if it wasn't perfect, giving yourself that credit. So just listening to this, if you're listening to this right now, you listen to this whole episode, like, that's amazing. First of all, thank you. I very much appreciate it. But also, I want you to give yourself credit. Like, okay, I'm trying to understand myself a little bit better here. I'm trying to understand my dating psychology better. That's amazing. Most people don't ever take time for this kind of introspection. They just keep doing the same things over and over and over and over again and hoping that the result will be different. And as we know, that's the definition of insanity, which isn't to say that you're insane, but it is doing something that is unlikely to yield you the results that you're looking for. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I am Francesca, which you already know. If you are enjoying this podcast, please, 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 first of all, let me know. Like, I want to hear from you. Like I said, I'm at Dear Franny on Instagram, on all social media. You can also follow the podcast at Dear Franny Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And you can also subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. Got some great episodes coming up for you, some interviews with some fascinating guests. So be on the lookout for that. In a couple of days, the next episode is going to drop. So be on the lookout for that. And then, if you enjoy it, subscribe and then rate and review the podcast. I would so, so appreciate that. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. I don't take for granted that you've spent a bit of your precious time with me. Thank you so much. Until next time.